The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate.
And I will declare your praise.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 5th chapter. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon, the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without pain, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And this is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. When you heard these words of Jesus in our gospel reading today, did it send a little bit of a shiver down your spine? Well, if it didn't, you probably didn't quite grasp the picture that Jesus was painting. Or you just didn't think that it pertained to you. But it does. So think about that scenario again. As a Christian, you are being sent into this world like a sheep surrounded by wolves. Now, if you've ever seen any kind of a nature documentary, you know exactly what the wolves do to a sheep that they catch. Well, actually, you don't, because they usually cut away before that happens, because it's so gruesome and terrifying. So when Jesus says that he sends us out as sheep among wolves, it is rightly a scary idea. And so our natural assumption is, well, Jesus would never do anything like that. Jesus would never send us out like a sheep amid wolves. He's a good shepherd. Good shepherds wouldn't do that. Jesus loves us, and so he wouldn't actually send us into any situation that is actually dangerous. And if he's going to send us out there among the wolves, at least he's going to weaponize us. I mean, he's going to make us sheep with bazookas, right? Armed to the teeth, ready to give all those wolves what for. He's going to teach us spiritual kung fu, give us guns, lots of guns. And we can go out there, mow down our enemies, and come out victorious. If he was going to send us out there like that, he would make us elite forces sheep, a one-lamb pack destroyer. We think to ourselves, yeah, we might be sheep amidst wolves, but we're like Hollywood action-style sheep that always win, never get a scratch on our fluffy little selves, slowly walk away from the exploding wreckage of our enemies with a smug smile on our faces every time. But that's not what Jesus promises. He doesn't say that we are going to walk through this world unscared and unscathed. Read again in verse 17 what he actually does promise. He says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake." How is that good for us? Why would the Good Shepherd do that? Well, as God's people, it is not our duty to subjugate and destroy all those who dare stand against us. Some other religions do that. Secularists do that. Humanists, they seek to destroy all those who disagree, establish a worldly empire where they reign supreme and unquestionable, and any who dare question what is being said are destroyed. But not us. As Christians, we bear witness to God's mercy and grace and forgiveness, despite what the world might accuse us of, despite what outsiders might think. Our empire is not of this world. We speak God's word in love, not in domination. bringing the peace and the joy that we have to those who are trapped in the darkness and lies of this world, to people who need that message as desperately as we ourselves do. But doing so in a world that hates that word, that considers that world outdated and bigoted, that is going to draw fire. And it's going to get us hurt, even torn to pieces. But we don't keep silent just to save our own woolly little hides. We speak out so that others can have the eternal gift of heaven as well. We proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and proclaim to a world in darkness that there is a better way, that chaos and violence and domination are not the ways to power and joy. In fact, Jesus promises in this reading that sometimes our very suffering is going to be our Christian witness. You know, when we use the word martyr, typically we're talking about someone who has been killed for their faith. But do you know what the word martyr actually means? In Greek, it means witness. That was what the martyrs did. They gave witness as they were being killed. They proclaimed to the world in no uncertain terms that they would rather suffer anything, even death, rather than fall away from the one true faith. As they were torn apart by animals, as they were stoned to death, as they were boiled in oil and refused to renounce Jesus Christ, they bore witness that there was something far better than this waiting for them. They bore witness that the truth of Jesus' promises was in their hearts so deeply that they were willing to suffer such terrible things. We will be dragged before kings and governors, not to receive justice, but to bear witness before them and the whole world, to display our Christian faith, to show the world that that is something worth dying for. As Christians in a sinful world that hates God, we are not always going to win. Now, at the moment, we are blessed to live in a country where martyrdom and Christian killing doesn't happen on a regular basis. But we shouldn't be surprised if it starts. In the world today, there are Christians who simply by professing their faith mark themselves for death, who have to live wondering if their neighbors or family are going to turn them over to die horrible deaths that day. We are not always going to walk away unharmed. In fact, we're not even always going to walk away at all. If you are properly living your Christian faith in this world, you are a target. You will be mocked, ostracized, arrested, maybe even killed. You are surrounded by wolves who hate you, who want to see you suffer, who want to tear you to pieces. You are amidst vicious, wild animals who will stop at nothing to tear you away from your faith, force you to renounce God, convince you that your faith is wrong and unnecessary and just downright evil. You will be told that calling a sin is not tolerant, and doing so will not be tolerated. You will be judged by those who misquote, "Judge not, lest ye be judged yourself." You will be told that the day of the sheep is over, that Christianity is done for, that its outdated rules don't belong in a progressive and open-minded society, and any who dare think otherwise will face some very closed-minded consequences. You will have the devil snapping and snarling at you at all times, terrifying you, trying to make you doubt God's power, trying to convince you that you are doomed, that you will never prevail, that you are hopeless, and that you are utterly alone. And that's where the world, the devil, your own sinful flesh, they are completely wrong. You may not always win. You may not even survive. You are not a sheep with a bazooka, but you are a sheep with very good insurance, with an unbreakable promise given to you by the Creator of the universe, the one true and triune God. God does not promise you earthly safety. He promises you something far, far better. Your victory, it is not just a temporary and fleeting thing of this world that can be taken back by someone with a counterattack. But no, you have an everlasting, unshakable, eternal victory that cannot be taken away. Yes, you are in danger, but it's danger that can't threaten your eternal home. Yes, you will suffer, but no matter how long that suffering continues, it is temporary, and the joy of heaven is forever. Yes, you may lose everything, possessions, reputation, family, friends, even your life, but your salvation can never be snatched away from you, because the Good Shepherd loves you. The Good Shepherd has laid down his life for the sinful sheep that we are. He takes no joy in sending you out among the wolves. That is the consequence of sin. That is the consequence of living in a broken and sinful world that despises God. But even as he sends you, he never sends you alone. Always, he is there with you, guiding you, speaking through you, giving witness to the world through you, protecting you. Not in that you are armed to the teeth and are always going to win every earthly battle, but you are armed with the absolute certainty that he has won the war. He suffered and died for you, taking your place beneath the judgment of your sin, enduring God's wrath that should have been yours for all eternity. He laid down his immortal and eternal life into death to pay for your guilt, shedding his innocent blood in your place, the only sacrifice good enough to save you. He rose again from the grave to seal your victory, giving you not some vague hope for a possibly better future, but the undeniable, already done, signed, sealed, and delivered guarantee of eternal life in heaven with him. You, a sinful sheep, who deserved only pain and torment, who deserved only to be torn limb from limb by vicious wolves for all eternity, you have been made his dear child by his cross and by his empty tomb, by the gracious love that he poured out for you when he gave everything. You are forgiven of all of the sin that should by right separate you from him for all eternity. You are cleansed of all the filth and wretchedness that you so willingly bring into your life and that you struggle with on a daily basis. You are given something far, far greater than the hope of just a good life here on earth. You are given the guarantee of eternal life in paradise. All because of what he has done, and he has done it because of his love for you. So do not think that if you're a good enough Christian, you'll always win every argument, you'll avoid every persecution, and you will walk through every fire unscorched. In fact, count on the opposite. If you are a Christian living out your Christian faith in this world, you are a target. You will be hated, you will be attacked, you will face trial and danger and pain and suffering and even death. In short, as a Christian in this sinful world, you will be like a sheep among wolves. And sometimes, in fact, very often, the sheep does not come out of that situation very well. But know that that is not all that you have to look forward to. Your life is not about winning anything at all in this world. Your victory is an eternal one. It goes far beyond anything that this world can pretend to offer, and it is guaranteed, paid for in full by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by his death and his resurrection on your behalf. You are a sheep in the midst of wolves, but you are also in the loving arms of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who has given you the eternal victory. Because by his cross alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.